Seduction, sex, lifestyle. For the true player at heart, Global SLR presents The Real Kings of Pickup. Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash Motherfucking Dibazar. Be the best and fuck the rest.
Hello, everyone, live callers, and those listening afterwards to the podcast. This is Vince Hollywood Kelvin, also known as Aphrodite's Prince. And we are here, you're listening to The Real Kings of Pickup. I have with me my spiritual brother, the man I turn to when I need advice. Together, we put the best events on the planet. Coming up, the Global SLR in September. We're basically at it every single day. Some of you guys, you tune in every day, and that's awesome. We thank you for that, and that's the way to go. So with me, Arash Jepar, motherfucking Dibazar. How are you, brother?
Hey, brother, I'm doing incredible. I'm on top of my game, going out 2 to 3 times a week now, but since I got back from Venus Moon, and I'm out in the world practicing my pickup and my seduction. And it's been years since I've done that. And I tell you something, there's nothing, I have not come across anything more fun than pickup and video games. I don't get to play video games, but I do pick up all the time. So it's been unreal. What's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm reading the testimonial. I'm seeing the pictures. For me, I'm so psyched. Today, I finalized the venue for the Global SLR on Sunday. It's very historical. You know, I got to see the backstage, all of the like memorabilia from the years, and I met all the owners. That place is legendary, and I have no clue. It was like it's a museum back there upstairs. So when we'll be there, we got to make sure. You see it, beautiful weekend, loads of women, and it's always funny, you know, there's a certain frequency, and when in that frequency is like all exes try to contact me. It's like the same day, it started Venus Moon, 30 minutes into my talk on Friday night, I was starting to receive texts, so that's the frequency. So I'm psyched to help the guys, so much is happening. There's going to be some big surprises during the next couple of days, guys. So much is going on. Anybody in Los Angeles, Hollywood, or there's sometimes guys driving from San Diego or surrounding San Bernardino, Santa Barbara, you name it. Tomorrow night, we're on with the Hollywood pickup artist Lair, brand new Lair. If you're not a member yet, make sure you are. And meanwhile, I think, brother, we're ready to take questions. So, gentlemen, you know the drill. City you calling from, your name, and your question. The calls are brief. We have less than 30 minutes left to assist you to the best of our ability. So who's going with the first question? I had to mute one gentleman so far, 410 number. So there's always that cute moment of silence at the beginning. Adorable.
This is Sam from Chicago. How are you?
Sam, doing wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, quick question. How do you, at least in your mind, if you feel like, you know, if you have like a slowdown or a slump, how do you, as far as pickup, how do you get past that, or how do you, I guess, pick yourself up or motivate yourself, or I'm just trying to see what your thoughts and ideas are on that, you guys'.
Vince, go ahead, brother.
I was going to pass it to you first, brother, since I last spoke, but I'm on right now, so
I'm not going to be able to answer that. That's why. So I'm passing it to you.
Okay, so Sam, first, it's as Arash says, as we learn from it, from him, it's all in a state of mind. So watch how you frame it. You're using words that you didn't create to describe what's normal. We will all go through motion. Notice how I frame it. Motion. Seasons. So watch branding it as when you're in a rut, when this, when that. Those explanations, leave them to those people who have no greater awareness. You are the place where you're beyond that level of consciousness. And that goes for everybody. Okay. a great exercise, everyone, is to pay attention to the expressions that you use and ask yourself, who uses that? Who created those expressions? And what is the wording of true winners? Then, you know, I personally go through moments like that. What I find to be helpful is, for as long as you resist, unless you just need to toughen up, so you need to check in. I like the law of three. Okay, so three times I go, come on, man, boom. And I don't mean three times in a row, like maybe 3 days or 3 weeks, you know. And if really it doesn't seem to pick up, then acceptance, surrender, this is where I'm at. And from there, I quickly get back to gratitude, okay? Everything you're already grateful for, how far you have come and so on. And then whatever would flow. I remember once I had I was creating so much and I still needed to write some articles and it wasn't coming out of me. And I recovered my creativity when I asked myself, what would feel really good right now that's good for you? And the answer was, go to the beach, go boogie board. 2 hours of that, boom, I was back in the flow. So those are simple techniques. And also trust that there's the swing of the pendulum. You know, something Arash had shared a long time ago during the Inner Alchemy, the first one we did. So there's always the polarity that's coming. In the winter, remember the summer. In the summer, remember the winter. So I think we're taking the next question for Arash. Brother, personally, I would be delighted to hear the breakdown of a recent interaction of yours.
We went out last night again, and there was very few people there. I met up with my student, Tigran, who's now in his own right quite a pickup artist. And we ended up going to this place, and I look around, and there's nothing happening. There's two girls at the bar, and there's two girls with a guy on the other side. That's about it. And then I noticed three women that I knew were sitting there. So I immediately went over there, said hi to them. And I said, okay, we got to do something here. So I went up to the bar. The girls were talking to the guy. And I told him, I'm going to take these girls from this guy. Watch. He was dressed in a button shirt, very nice jeans, very nice shoes. This is clean cut, good looking guy with a British accent. And I love that challenge, you know. So I went in there and I said something like, hi, and I just went right in the middle of them. They're facing each other in the bar, sitting down, still, and they looked at me. I said, you know, I go, here you guys are talking, and here I am looking at you. And I go, a part of me is like, just go say hi to them. I go, and the other part of me is like, what are you fucking doing? They're already talking to each other. And they start laughing. And then I said, but then another part of me is like, but just go talk to them. They're cute. So then I did this whole back and forth, a part of me, right? And then about like the third set of a part of me, and they're just listening and laughing, I switched it to the conscious part of me and the unconscious part of me. And I'm saying this, and I know this is very advanced, but I'm speaking to you, Vince. I'm sure you understand it. So it went from a part of me says this, a part of me says that. So one part of me was like, go for it. One of me was bringing up all the objections that they would give me. Then about the third set of that, I went into the conscious part of me is saying, well, I mean, obviously, if they want to talk to somebody, they wouldn't have their bodies facing each other. So maybe they don't want to talk to anybody. I go, but the unconscious part of me is like, man, it's going to be fun tonight. These girls want to have a good time. So then I started to change tonality on them. By this point, I was looking at them, and the one on my left, which was the fatter one, was pretty much in trance as I was talking. So then I just looked at her, and I said, you guys are coming with me to sit down over here. And they just kind of looked at each other, and I grabbed, you've seen me do this, I grabbed their drinks. But one had the drink in her hand, one had it on the table. So I just grabbed from her hand and from the table, and I started to do it was like a tug of war. Like, she wasn't giving me the drink, but she was kind of just looking at me like in awe. And so I was kind of pulling, and she was pulling back, and I was like, hey, you're coming this way. And she was like, no. I said, yes, you are. Look, your friend is coming. And then I would tell her friend, I would say, look, your friend is coming. And it was this really funny moment. I finally get them to my fucking table. I transfer their calamari, their two drinks, and some other shit they were eating, like chicken sticks or something. And they finally fucking sit down with us. And the guy is looking at me like, what the fuck just happened? So, long story short, I counted by the end of the night, I had 19 people at our table, guys and girls, and it was fucking phenomenal. I could break down more of it as we go forward, but that was really fun. And I gotta say, the guy came and took the girls to me again. So at some point, they went back with him. And the moment he did that, I got three other girls. And so Tigran was like, oh, we just switched two for three. But I had already set it up. By this point, I had the room warmed up. And so the moment they left, I grabbed three girls. I sat them down with us. I knew they were ready. And then I went back. I went back. I said, fuck this guy. So I go back there, and this guy looks at me. He goes, man, you're good. It was British. I said, you're good, you know. I said, yeah, man, we should go out. So we exchanged phone numbers, and, you know, he ended up becoming, I wouldn't say a pawn, but, you know, we started together getting the girls for a little bit of time, and I used his looks and stuff. So then I started playing this joke. I said, him and I were stepbrothers, actually, and at birth we were adopted by this very rich family. And he obviously, I said, look at him. He obviously went to Harvard. He's got the accent and everything. I said, me, I went to jail, and I was a gangster. I said, so there's the good guy, and I'm the bad guy. And the good boy and the bad boy, you know, I'm killing him when I'm doing this, but at the same time, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
You guys heard that? You know, what I love about the part of me, this and that, is that you're also introducing the concept of we have certain part, like in part therapy, for her. So then, gentlemen, if the girl starts to catch on the idea, part of me, part of this, it's a wonderful topic. I often do that to lead into, you know, it's always interesting how we have different parts of ourselves. Like, you know, now part of me is thinking, you are coming home with me. And part of me is thinking, yeah, but wouldn't it be nice to get a good night of sleep? And then after that, you know, whenever a woman goes, oh, I don't know if we should do this, you go, of course, part of you has to check in, you know, of course. But I also know that there's other parts within you that would probably think otherwise. But we're not going to let those parts come to the surface because I can assume, but you know what happens to you inside when those other parts, deeper parts, come to play. So, wow, fuck. I cannot wait for us to do our next thing together. And gentlemen, I mean, when I hear you, Raj, that you had, like what you say, 19 people, I've witnessed it firsthand, and you have this astonishing ability. I'd been a swoon the same, you know, the guys were kind of looking around and suddenly your table is growing and you're growing and you go, come on, Vince. And I just absolutely, I'm mesmerized when I see that in action. So it's, I'm looking at the time and it's time for more questions, gentlemen. We got about another 20 minutes. Speaking of getting together, Rush, I know you have an event in 2 weeks from now in San Francisco. And on Sunday the 16th, since the podcast comes a little later, Sunday, April 16th, both Rush and I are going to be in the evening in San Diego, doing a talk for all the
San Francisco.
All right, now we're gonna get the San Diego guys are gonna go like, what about us? So whatever city you're in, local lures should contact us to really bring the community together with the global SLR. So Mitchell, you had a question.
Yeah, first of all, if there's any background noise, I can't help it. I'm in a hospital right now. I had stroke-like symptoms, so I'm getting checked out, and I'm waiting right now and jumping on the call and making me more relaxed. So, I have two questions. First, is it okay if I ask something about the metamorphosis, Rosh? Does that work for you, or would you rather
not? Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. I think it's really helpful for me. I finally got it. His phone's messed up, so I finally got a chance to listen to that video where you talked about the rate of change in a given person. And my first question is, how do I apply that to me? Because I thought that was just amazing. And what you said is so true. But I didn't listen to it enough, or I just want to know how to apply it to me. That's question number one. And
Let me answer that first.
Sure.
Can you remind me of a piece of what I said? Because I really don't remember what I said. Just a little piece.
Oh, sure. You talked about that you have to be uncomfortable to change. You have to create uncomfortable and variances.
Yes, let's stop right there so we don't give up. Okay, yeah. So how do you apply that to you, right?
Yes.
Okay. This is really good. So yesterday I was teaching an aspect of that to Electra. Okay? And we were at the mall. An aspect of that. So that's like the basic teaching, and then it branches off. But what I'm about to tell you, you'll see how it applies. And we were standing in line in the mall, and I was ordering this teriyaki chicken with rice, and they kind of cook it in front of you as you walk down the line. And they have this little grill. And I was explaining to her a similar concept, but let's say in this case it still applies, and you want to grow. I said to her, I said, there's a particular order here that takes place, and everybody knows what they're supposed to do. I said, now, if I want to come to present time, if I want to wake up right now, and then I put my hand on the grill very quickly, boom, touched it. And she looked at me, and so did the chef. And I continued talking. I said, you see that? I go, you see that? Now I just broke the monotony of the moment, and for a moment, I came to life. Because I didn't know how hot that shit was going to be, and I didn't know if they were going to yell at me. Now, I didn't take a stupid risk. I just touched the grill real quick. I knew I'm not going to burn my finger off. And I said, okay, so let's stop that right there. In regards to the personal growth, I put a video today on my Instagram. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram or not. I actually put it on Facebook, too, where I was doing my Diamond Mind video. As you'll see, it'll go up later. And I saw this the very, very pretty girl sitting down at the pool, but she was dressed in full clothes, doing computer work, but makeup done in sunglasses. And I was like, what the fuck, right? Like, it's just completely off the wall. So I threw a few comments at her, and then as I was leaving, I went and sat down next to her, and I whipped out my fucking camera, and I started recording and rapping. And she was like, I don't want to be on camera. I said, oh, that's okay, and I kept recording. And then she said, you'll hear her in the video, she says, I'm working, right? And I said, I'm working too. I'm using you to become famous on my Instagram, because that's what I do. And then I finished the video. And then before I left, the conversation was so interesting because it was just so out of the ordinary. I'm rapping, you'll see the video. But that allows me to grow. Last night, there was two guys and two girls, and the girl was very pretty. And I was watching them, and I was telling the way I was going out last night is I was shaking hands with the bartenders, shaking hands with the hostesses and the waitresses and people that were being introduced to me, regular people. And I would say, hi, I'm Arash Dizar. I'm a master pickup and seduction artist. Watch me work tonight. I'm going to fuck shit up. And that's what I was doing, right? Like, I would literally say that, and they would look at me weird, or someone would laugh. And then, so I'm looking at this group of four. And this fucking white girl is looking good, man. And wow, my God, she's looking good. But I just don't know how the hell I'm going to go from where I'm at, cross this fucking ocean of emptiness, no one in it, and go to their fucking table and interrupt them and get the fucking girl. At the same time, Mitchell, I know I'm going to do it. And I know I'm going to do it because of exactly what you just asked, because I want to fucking grow. I need to grow, and I'm going to grow because I had an answer for all the other shit I was doing, but this one part, I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do. So I started to announce to all the girls around me, I said, that fucking woman is going to be here somehow, some fucking way, and I'm going to have to somehow disarm that man and the other man, and I don't know how. So finally, I see time is wasting, and they could be leaving. I'm like, I got to go. I got to fucking do this. I got to do this. So I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm going to do. I have to approach. So I fucking get up. And there's long space between us, and I just start walking towards them. Sure enough, they look up at me, and I start to pretend drunkenness, which helps me a lot of times, and I pretend like I'm just been drinking. So, hey. So it sounds like this. Hey, well, how you doing, brother? And I don't look at the girl. Hey, how you doing, brother? Shake his ass. Hey, listen, you over there. There's a big group of us. We're celebrating tonight. I see you guys sitting here. I don't know, you guys are probably celebrating, too. I said, I tell you what. Listen, I'm not looking at the girl, okay? I'm not looking at the girl. I said, I don't know what you're drinking, but if you guys want to just come have a shot with us, that would be fucking awesome, right? And then before he asked, I looked at him and said, what do you want? What kind of shot do you want? And he's like, yeah. I said, what do you want? What do you drink? He goes, Jack Daniels. I said, great. And then I turned to the other guy. I skipped the two girls. And I said, brother, what about you? What do you drink? He goes, I'll have the same thing, Jack. I said, okay. Now, I didn't say I'm going to buy it. I didn't say I'm going to buy it, okay? I didn't say I wasn't going to buy it either. I said, oh, okay. And then, without looking at the girls, I say to the fucking guy, I say, asked her, and I point to her without looking at her. I'm looking at him. Ask her if she wants anything. And he's like, you want anything? She goes, no. And I tell the other guy, ask her if she wants. He said, no. I said, all right, two jacks. Got it. I go back, right? At some point, the girls get up to go to the bathroom. I fucking get up, so it's only two guys, and I fucking make my way over there. I said, come on, guys, the fucking shot's ready. And they're like, oh, I said, come on, the shot's ready. So I grab the two fucking guys. I bring them to my table while the girls are in the bathroom. At this moment, I know I got it. I fucking know I got this shit. So they come, and I got to make a decision on how much two shots of Jack Daniels are. Okay? It was going to be, I think, $12 the total. So I get them two fucking shots. They take it right there. I sit them down. I throw three girls on them. Three girls on them. I just throw them on them. This is so-and-so. He's in the army. This is so-and-so. And the girl, one's super flirting, right? I'm waiting. I'm like, come on, come on. I don't know if these bitches are taking a shit or doing coke or what. Like, what the fuck are you taking so long for? Finally, these hoes come. And these guys are involved in conversation. So I go, hey, I yell across. I look, I wave them down. I go, they're over here. They're over here. The guys get nervous because they're talking to the girls. The girls come. I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't meet you. I shake hands. And believe it or not, one of the girls was a girl that I was messing around with like 10 years ago. I'm like, let's call her Sandy. I'm like, Sandy? She's like, yeah, Arash. I'm like, holy shit. She was, when you came to the table, I said, I don't look at you. You're with him. Anyways, bro, long story short, I got what I wanted, okay, which was the growth. Now, I grew in power by going in there and throwing myself in this uncomfortable situation. And I love talking about it right now because it was fucking awesome. So you apply the little bit of uncomfort to you, and suddenly this is evolution. Our bodies were designed to adapt. So you're either going to adapt to weakness, right, or you're going to adapt to strength. But if you keep every day systematically pushing yourself a little by little by little by little, then you will adapt. Naturally, you will become stronger. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, it does. I get it. And I see what I need to do is just push myself a little bit each day. And again, forgive the background noises.
Exactly.
But I hear what you're saying, and I thank you for that. Is it okay if I ask another question, or you want to give it to the other men?
Go for it, Mitch.
Okay. The second question, yesterday, had a reunion with classmates that I took a class with 2 years ago. The what-so is back then, I was needy, and I was asking them, and including women, for advice on dating, and I was telling everyone that I wanted a girlfriend. What I observed in the interactions yesterday, I was feeling great. I was being myself. I was invited by somebody. She was really liking the interactions, liking me, which was great. There were a couple other people there that were just not interested in me, and I was just like, yeah, whatever. Didn't really care. But my question is, what I noticed is they have the listening of me that they did a couple years ago. They didn't see the change. The question is, when you see people in a couple of years and they don't get a chance to talk to you real deeply, what could you do to change their listening of you? Or is that really necessary? Should I just say, fuck it, and whatever their listening is whatever their listening is?
You know, it's interesting, Mitchell. First, we really have to acknowledge the fact that you're at the hospital and you made the time to call in. That's pretty fucking awesome, you know? That's dedication right there. With those people, I first wouldn't worry too much about it. Remember, constantly, guys, reinforce the frame. You're the boss. You're the selector. It's your own life, your own reality. So watch how you phrase it, because the phrasing sets the frame. Don't refer to they were not really interested. Instead, they were not really interesting. Or also know that there are people out there who, and sometimes we maybe that to others, who are very much into their own thing and unaware, okay? So you also have to be aware that it's okay, you know? It's okay. And instead of questioning yourself, I would question them. And any evolved person will right away sense your evolution, you know? Think about it. I think very recently at each event, a Rash tells you, I tell you, my parents, first thing when they saw you again, they were like, wow, Mitchell, and they didn't talk with you. I don't think you have a deep had a deep conversation with them. They could just sense it. So those who are not sensing it, it's a reflection of where they are at. And I like to practice at that level, not at every level, you know, because you cannot take shit from people and so on. But there's also an element of it that is based on live and let live. If you got to reduce the concern of this person may not really understand me, this person may have a false idea of me, and so on. You know, part of being super good at this is to come to complete peace with the fact that there's always those who will and those who won't. And if you're disrupted by that, then you cannot operate freely and you cannot recognize your own true power. And then don't let people decide. With women, it's always the same thing. People, we're all very fast. People are fast to preserve their own safety, to quickly make decisions about others. Okay? So if you sense a little bit of that being made, don't go against it directly towards them because you're reinforcing that idea. You're participating in their false notion of you. But instead, quickly go in with yourself and know your own truth and further affirm yourself that way with no attachment to whether or not they are going to get it. Okay? Repeat that. It's a basic mantra. It's in all my early programs. Some will, some won't, so what? Some will, some won't, so what? Till you, it's really ingrained within you and you're more at peace with that. And watch also, speed is essential because you got to be faster than other people. Okay? So don't wait for them to make a decision about you. Know your own truth and operate from that. Operate from it. And sometimes it's the difference of a split second. I personally see it. I walk the streets every fucking day, even if I have just a few minutes. And I do it like around the clock, meaning sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, 3, 4 a.m. So I go to the 24 hours Walgreens just to grab a beverage for the morning, just to feel people at different times and so on. Okay? If I'm a little bit preoccupied and I'm not in my full sharpness, I notice I give too much time for people to decide. But those moments when I'm like, boom, pure self-expression. This is who I am. This is the way it is. Like it or not, I won't even care myself. I'm not even going to be like, I don't like it that you don't like me. Then, boom, people shift. And you can also observe it with people that you encounter often. Okay? So, Mitchell, I think you're doing awesome. Take good care of your health. You know, it's essential. And we really appreciate you being on the call and everything. And I know we will see you at the GSLR.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, what other questions do you guys have?
Yeah, I have a question.
All right. What is it?
My question is, so with this closing or, you know, setting up getting like another meetup, you know, it's not called a date, but, you know, just as far as trying to see her again, I've gotten good, you know, like opening is something that I'm progressing and I've been working on. And in my opening conversations, I've definitely gotten a chance to develop, become much smoother, you know, have a little bit more time to think, throw in a neg or two, make it super fun, add some keynote and stuff. But, I went through those times where I was getting the number, but like I wasn't getting any response. And I was just kind of trying to break that down for myself. But today, I was having a conversation with the girl that I just met. And, you know, it's going really good and everything like that. And I was getting this feeling like, okay, like I like her, you know. And I was like, I wanted to see her again. But I was afraid that I was going to be, you know, come across too needy or something like that. Because I was like, you know, I kind of had this kind of notion that maybe it's because they think I'm too needy or something like that, or I'm not negging enough. And so I just asked her, I was like, you want to chill? She said, yeah, but not today, later this week. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's cool, that's cool. So, like, I'm confident about that, you know, regardless, because, you know, I love myself. I don't have, like, a lot of attachment to that. But that was something that was, like, I was wondering, like, how do you make your closing or when you're asking for the second date, like more smooth, like less needy, you know, like more just chill. Does that make sense?
All right. Well, I will pass it to Rush first, and I got a lot to tell you.
Well, yeah, I'll pass it back to you. Go ahead, then.
All right. It is such a common story. I mean, I really appreciate you being on the call, but it is something that I've heard so often from guys. It's almost making me like seasick just listening to it. Okay. I mean, I really appreciate you and I recognize your voice from prior calls and I know you're making headways. Your frames are backwards at the core. Your concern that when you say, I'm a little bit afraid I may come across needy, fearing is needy, okay? So right there, voice it, but voice it with no dependence. That's the key. What they feel is the dependence, okay? Because whenever we feel like somebody becomes dependent on us, for women, it's a meta message. Okay, why would a guy that doesn't know her kind of be attached from hanging out? Two reasons. Either he doesn't have any, who wants the guy that doesn't have any, or he does that all the time. Okay? He does it too much. So voice it, but voice it freely. When you hear a little voice on the inside goes, ah, I like her. Okay, make sure that the voice is not like, ah, I like her so much, but tonality is key. If you're concerned coming across needy, change your tonality. And make sure you remind yourself, yeah, it'd be awesome to see her, but then again, I don't even know her. And that's how you voice it. And think about what you heard tonight. How about you say, part of me is thinking. You heard that from Arash today. Part of me is thinking. I like her, but then again, I love to always balance it. But then again, I don't even know you. Maybe challenge her a little bit. What's one thing somebody who just met you should know about you? Or I love to ask women, why is that? I say, pardon me, or I feel like I would start to like you. I don't know you. Why is that? You explain, darling. Okay? And remember closing, to get good at it, you do it a lot. The concept of, I will only close when I really like the girl and I feel pretty sure that she's going to go for it, might be fine when you have really paid your dues and you have amazing chops. But at a stage where closing doesn't come to you like in your sleep, you want to close for the sake of practice. And you want to do it even when you know it's a desperate cause. Because then it's going to force you to grow, as it was stated, and to practice more. You know, I like when I know that, okay, there is no way this girl is going to follow me. Plus, I don't even fucking like her. I look around. I don't see anybody else. I go, okay. Just for the sake of it, for practice, I go, you should come with me right now. Now, the concern that you come across too needy, I would reverse that idea, okay? That you come across too needy because you're telling them too much what you want backwards. You're not telling them strong enough. It's the weakness and the hesitation in it that they pick up from you. And then you obviously do quite a bit of pickup from what you are stating, and yet again, your entire explanation for those who re-listen afterwards, explain also why where you're at. Okay, so there's a lot more we can say. I'm looking at the time. We have to wrap up. We can take one last question in a moment. But gentlemen who just asked the question, here's what you should do at the level of learning, everybody, okay? For every frustration that you have, there's always a solution, and a solution that makes it very, very easy, that makes it flow. So any frustration, any hesitation is also an indication that you're missing pieces, and use it as another reason why you must dive in and really study it beyond what you already know. Because what you know, also the concept that you mentioned, whenever I hear in my own head it's going good, I go, no, it's not. You know damn well what's coming up next. The girl's not going to text back. The girl, a friend is going to short, there is no such thing as an interaction that's going good. Okay? It just is, and it's what you do with it. And then when a person tells me, oh, I'm getting pretty good at opening, I got no problem opening, but closing, in my own book and standard, the challenge starts with opening. Because you got to learn how to open in a way that gets her so hooked that closing is just a formality. Think about it. When there's something that you really, really, really want, okay? You don't have to work on closing. Rolls Royce doesn't work on closing. People know how bad they want it, and those who have what it takes to get it, go and get it. They won't even let the pricey car, people won't, can't even test drive them, even if you give a credit card or something. You know, this, I've even heard stories where you got to put a deposit on it so you can try it. So anyone that goes, oh, yeah, you know, I got no problem getting phone numbers, but they don't text me back. The challenge is in how you get the phone number. I give you one little gift, and then I make an announcement, and then we take one final question, and that's it for tonight, gentlemen. Okay, here's one little gift. You got to plant in your number closing what will allow you to continue even if she doesn't respond. The beginner's way to do that I teach, as you number close her, once she's entering the number, and it should be her entering the number in your phone. Why? Because it's greater commitment if it's her fingers doing it than her telling it to you, and it's too much work for you. So the way you do that, you say, as she's giving the number, you go, oh, here, you enter it. Too much work. I barely know you, and already you got me working. You enter it. And then I balance that by saying, you know, girls, I don't know why. It's in the fingers or somewhere. They're so fast with phones. Are you guys like, do you have secret meetings of all the chicks on the planet? They learn how to go faster with phones than guys. And then after that, you play a little bit. It shouldn't be just, oh, okay, or send a text right away. No, it's got to be richer. Okay, if you bring richness and laughter and loosen her up further, after she entered the phone number, in her own mind, it's a confirmation that she did the right thing. And it's also very refreshing because the majority of people out there, they get a little nervous when it's time to number close and they make it way too dry. And they keep it at, oh, okay, I got the phone number. And then they try to be cool, which is another mistake. Don't try to be cool. Okay? That's average guy. Every average guy goes, oh, yeah, no problem. Next week, maybe you go, no, that's way too early. Fry her circuits. They're, not next week. In 6 months, 9 days, 37 hours, and 19 seconds. Seriously. I don't know. It doesn't have to be right now. But then again, it could be. That would be pretty fucking crazy. We don't even know each other, and you and I. Wow. Imagine the story. But let us be proper. You have things to do. And anyway, I can tell you're not the type that will be wild enough to just forget about everything that you had to do today and enjoy a moment with a stranger that everybody else will only see in a movie. Have you ever noticed people? They live their lives on the screen. It's sad. It's sad, my darling. So at that moment, what you tell her, this is the way to ensure continuity. You go, oh, wait a minute. Okay? Before we plan on texting or anything, how are you with the phone? Don't tell me that you're the type you just get phone numbers from guys just to boost your ego. If that's the case, I want my number back. I want my number back. And you tease her. Can do a lot of kino in that moment. Well, right there, you planted that. If she doesn't text you after that, you go, ah, I knew it. Give me my number back. Ha, ha, ha. Okay? That's just one example. So what you should do is really learn from us. Learn from me this aspect of making a number solid and to have already in the moment of the number close, in the interaction, you can even have it in the opener, everything that you will need to continue afterwards. So that's what's available out there. We have the Global SLR, gentlemen. I'm going to do something crazy only for the live callers, okay? VIP is currently at $450. Versus $1,500. VIP includes boot camps. We just booked a brand new speaker. We'll announce him on Sunday. Bad boy is there. of course, the best of the best, Raj De Palma, the fucking Deep Azar, myself, the entire Seductive Instinct staff of teachers will be there. It's the biggest event ever. You've heard about it and so on. So here's what we're going to do, okay? We're going to take one lucky VIP registration for anyone who calls me right after the call. Everybody else, if you hear this, it's probably going to be a different price. And the one person that goes for VIP, $450, you will have a voucher to attend one weekend boot camp with me at any given time during the year, East Coast or West Coast. That's one guy, the fastest one, who contacts me before 8 p.m. tonight. Okay, gentlemen? I'm looking at the time, brother. I think we keep it at this. I know I said one more question, but little time constraints. You good with that, brother?
Yeah, great with it.
All right, gentlemen, always a pleasure, and so much is coming. There's a free presentation tomorrow night here in Hollywood Live, and then we're going to have another live stream this Sunday with a very, very, very special guest. In the meantime, thank you, brother. Amazing.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you, guys. Good night.
You've been listening to The Real Kings of Pickup with Vince Hollywood Kelvin and Arash Motherfucking Deebazar. Brought to you by www.globalslr.com. Call live every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to get your questions answered.
Just dial 701-801-1220.
Then enter 129-779-160.
Followed by the pound key.
To get your free pickup starter kit, go to www.seductioncoaching.com now. And remember, stay sexy.